Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.jbsba.com. And if you want to email me, you can do that on the site. You can go to the contact link there. You can email me. Or here's another one. Here's a good one to use. AskJim@jbsba.com. If you have a question or comment, if you want to say anything about the show, especially if you want to say something nice about the host, here's the email, AskJim@jbsba.com. We always like those kinds. But if you got something you'd like to be critical about, we like those too, and I do read those, by the way. So you can check that out, and don't forget the website, jbsba.com, and don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. David Scherer is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's one of our top cash flow experts in the Brain Trust. He and his brother Martin own a company called AmShare Receivables Management out of beautiful downtown Birmingham, Alabama, and they're the authors of How to Collect Debts and Still Keep Your Customers. David, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jim. It's so good to be back with you again.
It's good to have you back, and I know you're excited about being back on the show. I know how much you love this. I know how much you love being with me, right?
Absolutely. My wife is getting jealous.
Hey, Dave, what's we're kicking off 2005. If you're in the cash flow management business, you help your customers maximize their cash flow. If you only had one thing, you're getting on an elevator with my audience, and you're only going up about 10 floors with them, so it's not going to be very long. What's the one thing that you would say to them in that elevator ride?
I would think I would tell them that when you or your salespeople are making arrangements to take on a new customer or client, as part of that process, you want to get over your expectations of when the bill is going to be due. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of times salespeople and business owners, they're trying to make a sale, and they don't want to bring up the fact that you might actually have to pay for your product or service one day. And so they just leave it unsaid. Mm-hmm. And then when they don't get paid, they're like surprised. And then the customer or the client was never told what the arrangements were, and so it's not necessarily their fault.
One of the things that small business owners don't do very much, and it's pretty, I think it's pretty common, is they don't share with their employees how the cash flow is working, how well things are going with regard to cash flow. Most employees don't really, other than, the accounting folks, don't really know where the company is with regard to cash. And so we don't instill that kind of a perspective in our employees, especially our salespeople. And I mean, I know salespeople right now who've been successful salespeople for decades. And if you ask them to explain to you, kind of an idea about how cash flow works in a small business, they couldn't do it.
Yeah, I'll tell you an interesting example. That my brother and I used to be in the retail furniture business, and we did a fair amount of TV and radio advertising, and had a TV salesperson come in and visit us one day to try to get us to increase our television advertising budget. And so his approach was, I've noticed that when you received your bills, you always pay them right on time. You realize, of course, this is what he's telling us, that most of the advertising agencies and people we do with business with wait about 90 days before they pay their bill. So therefore, why don't you just go ahead and buy more spots on my TV station, and then you can pay at a later date. That way you'll be able to afford it.
I hope he got fired.
I have no idea what happened to him.
This is a case of the employee working against the employer.
Well, he thinks he's trying to work towards his commissions, I think.
Yeah, he's working for his commissions, yeah.
I'll tell you another example, too, and this because we do collection work for all different types of businesses, and we sometimes know more about what the salespeople are doing wrong than the people who own the company. But we had a magazine publisher turn over some accounts to us to collect. And as our collectors were calling up and talking to the advertisers who weren't paying their bill, it became obvious that this publication had one salesperson who was basically selling on the premise, go ahead and buy the, you know, the space in this magazine. If it doesn't work, you don't have to pay.
Oh, my goodness.
And so, but we, you know, we saw a pattern there. And, of course, obviously, this guy's no longer with that magazine.
No kidding.
So it's just amazing sometimes what salespeople will do in order to create a sale.
That's what you call a rogue agent. Somebody who does something like that. We're going to talk about this some more, folks. This is very important. This could be the difference. What David is talking about right now, folks, could be the difference between success and failure for you and for me. 2012. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're back at 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. David Scher is our guest. And David, that's a little song I think more people ought to have a little cut of, a little recorded cut. And when they call their customers who aren't paying them, they need to push that button and just play that song. You know, when they're getting these excuses about why they can't pay them, you know, just play that song. You know, the best things in life are free, but I need money.
Right. That's the other mistake of business people often make when they're working on their business plans or they're doing their projections, particularly a novice business person. They always just make the assumption that they take their sales as their revenue item and then take their expenses and deduct it out, and that's their profit.
In a vertical column rather than a horizontal spreadsheet.
Right. And then what they find out sometimes is that you don't always collect everything that you sell. And oftentimes the money that you collect doesn't come exactly when you think it was going to be.
If I could get my hands on every small business, potential small business owner, before they, if I had my way, I mean, I'd be a little bit of a Nazi about this, folks. This is, you can call me a fascist if you want to. But if I had my way before anybody ever started a business, I would make them do an exercise of a cash flow for a business for a year. And I mean, I don't mean that they'd have to do it, take a year to do it. They could do it in a day. But they'd have to do the projections for how the money comes in, how the money goes out, and what's left over at the end, you know, in any given day or month, and plot that over a year and see how that works. David, can you imagine anything that would open the eyes of a potential small business owner better than that?
Well, the fact of the matter is many small business people get their eyes opened when, in fact, it does actually happen to them. And so it'd be far better to kind of know in advance what you're looking at.
Right. Well, one of the big things that I try to talk about, David, as much as possible. And by the way, folks, David Scher is our guest. He's the co-author of How to Collect Debts and Still Keep Your Customers. He's a professional at collections. His company does that and helping people with their cash management. David, one of the things that I really try to focus on, if somebody said to me, okay, Jim, you got 10 seconds. You tell us what you know, the best thing that you could tell us. I'd say understand your accounts receivable days and your accounts payable days and the relationship between the two. Here's 3 seconds back.
Right.
What do you think?
I think that would be exactly right on target. I know this is so obvious, but sales don't pay your bills.
Right.
It's cash that pay your bills. And I understand that the two biggest reasons that business fail, are poor management and not having enough capital for the growth. In fact,
which could be that they've succeeded themselves right out of business.
In fact, that's probably a large reason that a lot of companies fail. They are so successful, they just run out of cash.
Mm-hmm. Because their vendors make them pay them in 30 days, and their customers pay them in 60 days.
Right.
And so you got they don't have enough money just to fund that 30 days between the payables and the receivables.
Yeah, that little bit of spread makes all the difference in the world.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so now let's get back to the salesman the salesman instruction, or anybody who's out there giving our customers terms, basically, if you've got a salesperson in the field selling things on terms, on 30-day type of terms, open account type of terms, basically, if you haven't trained that person to understand the dynamics of your cash flow, you don't have to give them all the specifics, but if you haven't trained them to understand the dynamics of your cash flow and how days payable works and days receivables works, basically, you've got a train wreck out there waiting to happen, haven't you?
Yeah. Excuse me. And one of the things that you can do to help get the salesperson's attention is if they're on commission, they don't receive their commission until the payment is made.
Right.
Or, if, on the other hand, if you can take it away from them if the money doesn't come in.
Right. Well, and see, that's a way of making them kind of your partner, isn't it?
Absolutely. And they just need to be aware of that, because if you don't tell the customer what the deal is, they're going to pay you according to what their deal is.
Well, and one of the things you can say to your salespeople is, look, how would you like to put up your money to fund that sale instead of my money? And of course, that gets their attention very quickly. You know, and you know, you can remind them, you know, I'm not the bank. You know, I'm just a small business. The only difference between you and me is that I own this company, and I'm the one responsible for paying the bills, and that's the only difference between you and me. So you need to make sure your salespeople understand that. So what are some techniques that we can use with our salespeople to make sure that they don't give the store away?
Well, something that Martin and I do, we do collection seminars, and one of the things that we do is we play a little game with our personnel. And we ask them, how important is it for you to get your paycheck each week? And, of course, everybody raises their hand because, you know, if they didn't get their paycheck, they'd probably have some serious problems in paying their bills.
Right.
And I said, now let's assume that I call up one morning and say I can't come to work and I won't be able to write your check for you. And so they say, well, I'll come to your house and I'll get the money or whatever the case may be. People are very creative when it comes to trying to get their paycheck because it was their money. But in a business where it's the boss's money, it's not quite as important.
Right.
So it's important to try to get over to them to understand the importance of how cash can run or ruin your business.
Right, absolutely. And also, you might point out to them, if you don't do your job, your co-workers may not get paid. Tintail, we're going to be right back with our good friend David Scher. He and his brother Martin are the authors of How to Collect Debts and Still Keep Your Customers. Tintail, stay with us. Here's ZZ Top to take us out. Back at 7 till the hour. That's a blues guitar in the background there, folks. That's Robert Cray. Doesn't get any better. When it comes to blues, it doesn't get any better than Robert Cray. And when it comes to collecting your debts, it doesn't get any better than David Scher. They don't call me the king of Segway for nothing, David. And right. David, we need your website, please.
The website is www.amsher.com. AmSher is the name of our company, AmSher Receivables Management. And if anyone has any specific questions that they wanted to ask me, I'll give you my email address, and you can just email to me, and I can respond to them.
I appreciate that. Go ahead.
And it's D as in David, D-S-H-E-R. So it's D-S-H-E-R at AmSher, AmSher.com.
All right. And I appreciate you making that available. Also, tell us about those seminars.
Well, my brother and I do seminars on collections, and I know that sounds terribly boring, but we've turned it into a very fun experience. We play games. We sing songs. We take what most people would perceive something that, God, I go to a collection seminar and I'll fall asleep.
This is not joining hands and singing Kumbaya, is it?
Not okay. Quite, but okay. it's actually probably much more fun than that.
Okay.
We've been doing it for many years, and we've traveled all over the country giving this seminar, and the employees just, when we do it for a company, the employees just have the best time, and it kind of changes their whole view on collecting money, because that's what we're trying to do, is mess with their head, get them to understand that it's okay to ask for the money. In fact, that's the acronym that we use in the seminar, ASK, and we divide it up into A for attitude, S for speed, and K for knowledge. So we spend a lot of time on that attitude of making people feel that it's okay to ask. When you're asking for money and helping your business, you're the guy in the white hat, not the guy in the black hat.
Right. Now, if somebody wanted to attend one of your seminars, how would they do that?
Well, they could just email me at my email address, which would be dshare@amshare.com. And we could work out the arrangements.
So, do you do these when people ask you to come in, or do you travel around and do them in towns? How do they?
Usually, typically companies will request that we come in and train their employees.
I see what you mean. Yeah, so it's not really like a public venue in those cases.
Well, we have done some on some occasions, but generally that's the way it works.
Right. And of course, you do the seminar on this show from time to time. That's the other thing that happens.
Oh, absolutely.
If they know about the Small Business Advocate Show, they get you right here, one-on-one. Speaking of one-on-one, what's the next thing that you tell our audience, small business owner, if you had a 10-floor elevator ride to make with them? What would be the second thing?
Well, I think that when you're talking to someone about collections and getting them to understand what's important, you want them to make a point that when you have a new client or new customer and they don't pay you when they're supposed to, that you don't wait 60 days to call them up and find out what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, what we recommend is right after you make the sale or perform the service of whatever it is that you do, that you call up the individual and first of all, find out if they're satisfied with the service, and then ask them, you know, reinforce the fact of when their payments are due. And then when the person doesn't pay when they're supposed to, that you go right to work on trying to do your follow-up on that. Again, people are sometimes, business owners, accounts receivable people are sometimes shy to ask for their money, and they just wait, assuming that they're going to get paid. And actually, the longer they wait, the less likely it is that they're going to get paid.
Well, what you have to remember is it seems to me, and you talked about this a little earlier, David, if you're shy about asking for your money, think about this. Your employees aren't going to be shy about asking for their paychecks on Friday. Your banker's not going to be shy about calling you if you're overdrawn. And your vendors are not going to be shy about asking you for your money. So shy doesn't get it, does it?
No, in fact, that's the quickest road to failure is by being timid about getting over your expectations and then asking for your money when it's due to you.
But the best thing you told us...
And I tell this to people all the time. People, when they buy their product or service, know they're going to have to pay for it. This is not any great surprise on their part.
Right.
And the fact is that most people really are honest and mean to pay their bills. And what happens, however, is they have more bills than they have money.
Well, they've been shy in asking for their money, haven't they?
Yeah, that's always a possibility.
Hey, David, we got to wrap it up. Thank you for being here. Good job today, as always. We'll see you next time.
Okay, Jim. Thanks for having me.
David Share, ladies and gentlemen. That's amshare.com, AMSHER.com. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, a small business advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.